Hello there, and welcome to episode 10 of Right You Are. I'm John Payne, and I'm going to be reading out the latest chapter of the first draft of The Badger Helper Watcher. You'll know what it's about if you've been listening. It's chapter 6 now, and I'll be offering any insights into it, possibly, of ways that I think I can improve it, and hopefully that'll help you with your writing, if indeed you are writing. And yeah, that's it really. Should be, I think it's quite a short chapter this time, so it should be quite a short episode, so maybe listen to this one if you're out for a jog or something, or maybe just, I don't know, while you're cooking tea. Maybe some of the longer episodes you can use for drive to work. But this one, yeah, this is more of a cooking the tea kind of type episode. Maybe if it's just some baked beans, something like that. Anyway, yes, I'll get started on chapter 6. Well, just a bit of background first. In the last chapter, Ms. Minnim, who I might change to Miss Minnim, which would be easy to say. She's one of the teachers at the school that Sam's about to go to. And she used to do musical extravaganzas. It's hard to say as well. Musical extravaganzas to introduce new kids to the school. But now she's decided to rely on Sally, a nice girl, who's, well, she's going to show Sam around the school. That's what's happening in this next chapter. Chapter 6, or When Sammy Met Sally. The first thing that Sam noticed about Sally was her crazy hair. Although it wasn't constantly moving and flickering, it reminded him of the most exciting fire he'd ever seen. Now, considering the fact that Sam had lived in Dead Endville for most of his life, this probably wouldn't be as thrilling to anyone in Valley Vale, or anyone else for that matter, but Sally's hair definitely reminded him of the time Bob Bobbitts, the village idiot, had glued 3 matches together so he could light them all at the same time for some kind of idiotic reason, no doubt. The second thing he noticed was her unusually small ears and the fact that she had somehow managed to tuck her hair behind them. The third and most prominent thing he noticed about Sally wasn't anything physical. Well, not any particular feature anyway. Sam noticed how bored she seemed with everything, as if she had seen everything the world, or at least the school, had to offer, and she was just staring at it, daring it to surprise her, whilst at the same time knowing that it wouldn't or couldn't. As you can see from the small wooden plaque on the door, this is room 2A, and approximately 10 feet from that on the right is the door of room 2B, with a plaque of its very own. As she said this, Sally sounded like she was sinking into a lake full to the brim with liquid boredom. Fascinating, Sam said sarcastically, trying to snap her out of her monotony. This was mostly for his own sake, because Sally's tone was starting to remind him of his old history teacher, whose name he couldn't remember, because by the end of the first sentence of his first class, he'd lost concentration because of the man's dreary voice. He had tried to ask everyone else in the class later on, of course, but no one could remember for the same reason. He snapped back into the present and noticed that Sally had stopped talking and was just staring at the wall. She was perfectly still, apart from her eyelids, which were flinching, as if she was remembering something that she wanted to forget. Sam was about to say something to snap her out of it, but then she suddenly snapped out of it herself. When you first look at the classrooms, apart from Skinder, the old skeleton in 2A, the rooms look exactly the same, Sally droned on. But they're not. It seemed like she used to say this bit dramatically, but the drama had been lost somewhere along the way. Sam really couldn't care less by this point, anyway, but he feigned interest by taking a look at Skinder. He had quite a nice spot in the corner of 2A, with the sun breaking through the trees, shining down on him through the window. The skeleton could do with a visit to the dentist, he thought. Besides that, he looked all right, and the way the light was hitting his skull made Skindle-Kazoo smiling as a private joke. Not bothering to see if Sam was still listening to a fascinating story, Sally continued. Do you want to know why?
Why what?
Sam asked, barely managing to sound interested. Why the two rooms aren't exactly the same? Sam used the question to try and spark up a conversation that would take them both away from the duller than dishwater subject of classrooms. He strained his imagination. Is it because one of the rooms was built over a tiny Indian burial ground, and every night when the school's shut, the tiny Indian ghosts draw straws to see who have to be the cowboys in midnight games of cowboys and Indians? Sally quite liked that idea, but tried hard not to crack a smile. She failed, and Sam liked the way her face came alive for the first time. No, that's not it, she replied. She waited for a moment to see if Sam was going to come up with some other reason that would make the actual reason seem even duller. Is it because... Sam was struggling to come up with something to top the tiny Indian story, and he could see that Sally's attention was beginning to fade. He had to think of something quick. Buried treasure underneath the teacher's desk? Sam knew it was a lame explanation as soon as the words escaped from his mouth in a panic. But why was he in a panic anyway? The look on Sally's face made him feel even worse for some reason. Who knew why? No, it's not buried treasure or miniature Indian ghosts, Sally said, retreating back into her bored tone of voice. The reason why the rooms 2A and 2B are not exactly the same. She seemed to be speaking in slow motion now, and Sam could only just make out her words. Is that there's about double the amount of gum stuck underneath the desks in 2A as there is in 2B. Sam just stared at her, not knowing what to say. He needed to say something, so he looked around for something daft to comment on. He was in luck. From around the corner, a boy with three chins emerged, but before he could say anything, Sally let out a long sigh and started to talk a little differently. I know it's a dull, stupid story. She had broken away from her monotonous tour guide tone and seemed more human, but more sad. I've done these show arounds for so long now, I decided to add different little bits of stories to them just to keep myself interested. Sam looked at his shoes, feeling bad for not trying to show a bit more interest. Sally continued. I know that story about the bubblegum wasn't that great. Despite himself, Sam gave her a look. Okay, she said. It was very boring, but true. Sam wondered how she'd found that out and let it go a little smile. He liked this new, more honest version of Sally. I've done this so many times, she sighed. I just can't be bothered with it anymore. I mean, a school's a school, right? Sam nodded in agreement, a bit taken aback by her outburst. I've never been to any other schools, and I wouldn't want to, but I'm presuming that yours was pretty much the same as our place. Sam looked around, already knowing the answer. The walls of the corridor looked as though they'd been painted yesterday, a complete contrast to the gloomy gravestone grey of Dead Endville Elementary. The corridors themselves were completely different to his old school. So much space. He certainly wasn't going to miss having to queue in single file to get to classes, the toilets and the playground. Sam's dad had told him something about the town being so poorly designed that they'd forgotten to include a school in the plans. This meant that there was barely enough room to swing a cat by the time they'd built all the houses, let alone build a school. Sam decided to lie. Yes, it's virtually the same. I can hardly tell the difference, Sam assured her. Except for my friends not being here. Sam said this without thinking and surprised himself. He noticed her looking at him sympathetically, then she turned away quickly. She mumbled something to herself, then turned back to Sam with a sort of scary, forced, happy face and said, Well, this is no way to spend a dinner hour, is it? Sam sensed that she'd gone back into herself a bit. He was about to agree with her and maybe suggest that they could hang out, but she carried on. "I'm off to the library. Those books won't read themselves." She thought about what she'd said for a second. Sam grabbed the opportunity to say something to try and make her smile again. "Well, they might do," he said, "but that would be sick and wrong." He giggled to himself, and Sally smiled slightly. Then she headed off to attend to her important business at the library. Well, there you go. That was chapter 6 of The Badger Harbour Watcher, or When Sammy Met Sally. I quite enjoyed that one. The next chapter's called Chapter 7, or Poor Gary. You'll find out why next time. But yeah, I quite enjoyed that chapter. I noticed things along the way from reading it, that I'd put their names in too much. There's only two people in the scene, so there's no point in repeatedly reminding the readers what your characters' names are. So I did change Sally to she and Sam to he at some points during reading that. I quite enjoyed doing the monotonous tone of voice of Sally, although it does help that I didn't get much sleep last night because of the heat with the summer. But if you want to enjoy a really good audiobook, I can recommend Good Omens, read by Martin Jarvis on Audible. It's brilliant the way he does all the different voices. It's unbelievable. It's just one person doing the voices, actually. He does it really well. It's kind of encouraged me to try and do different voices for all the stuff that I've been reading out of. I've been reading out a book, The Fifth Visitor, or How Scrooge Kept Christmas. So I have a look for that on here. And at first I did do different voices, but I was finding a bit of a strain. But I'm going to try and get back into that, do Scrooge's voice like that, a bit older, and his companion, the Fifth Visitor, maybe have him a bit quirkier like that, and that kind of thing. So I think it's hard keeping track of all the different voices, though. I mean, it must be for Martin Jarvis's Good Omens, and he probably does it over a course of several months, I guess. And that's maybe he records the voice to remind himself. I don't know. Anyway, there you go. Yeah, hope you enjoyed that chapter. I quite did. It's a nice short chapter that kind of gave a nice sort of introduction to the two main characters of The Badger Helper Watcher. And yeah, I think it worked quite well, mostly. So there you go. I'll sign off now until next time. And that was episode 10. We've got through 10 episodes already. Episode 10 of Right You Are. You've been great, and I've been John Payne, and I'll see you next time. Bye.